Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Friday. The weekend looms. Grant and Danny here to keep you company for the next half hour on 106.7 The Fan. We'll get a chance to hang out with many of you tomorrow in Arlington at Whitlow's at the Danny Ruye Happy Hour.
I know.
A.K.A. the Summer Dress Party. You're going to go ham sandwich tomorrow.
I love it. It's one of the two nights a year I get drunk. I worry, though, as someone who is very self-centered and loves making things about him, I do worry that somehow it's become about me. I mean, the junks are always kind enough. Well, the junks are always kind enough to invite me in to inject a little life into their hype-up celebration leading up to the Summer Dress Party. I do worry that it's because this is not about me. The whole point is I'm an ancillary character that just gets drunk and high fives people, the people that I like, that I work with. But anyway, I'm excited about it. It's one of my favorite events.
It's a great event, and it's a good opportunity for the station to hang out with listeners, and the junkies put on a heck of a party. They have been for years and years.
Yeah, man.
And it only gets bigger and better just about every single year. It's taken on different iterations at different bars and different tones kind of based on the atmosphere. I thought last year's was perfect. It's earlier in the afternoon. It's a lot of day drinking, basically. You're there if you want to be there into the early evening, and then you can go hop to a different place and spend the night in Arlington, or you can kind of head home and have dinner at a reasonable hour, little buzz.
Or face hits pillow at 8:45 p.m. if you're Danny Ruye, because you can't handle it anymore, because you're old and rickety.
Last year, I had a bunch of people coming over to my house for Mayweather and McGregor.
That's right. That was last year.
So we left there a little earlier than I would have typically to go prepare the house for company. And we ended up having like 20 people over in the basement and in the living room, which, minor detail and not important anything. Did you know that if you have a pay-per-view event at your house and you have a small living room, so you need to get two rooms worth of space for people,
you got to pay again.
You have to pay for it two times.
Yeah, it's.
I thought I would just put it on all the TVs. That is not how it works.
No, it is not.
So you pay twice for the basement TV and the TV in your living room.
It goes into the big old bucket, and that bucket is full of reasons why I don't do pay-per-views, and I'm not getting them anytime soon. I won't be bamboozled by some sham of boxing matches. It was UFCs, the whole rest. I don't do pay-per-views. That's a big reason why.
It ended up being a decent fight, in fairness.
Sure. If I buy the thing, it's mine. Let me put it on my computer. Let me put it on my phone. Let me put it on my kitchen wall. Let me project it out in the neighborhood. But they don't let you do that.
Quick lay of the land here for you in studio of what's coming up. We're actually going to bounce over to the Junkies TV studio in about 25 minutes because we don't have enough room or microphones in our little hut here to welcome into the booth Tom Geary and Brandon Quinton Adams, two of the actors from The Sandlot. You know them as Scotty Smalls. Smalls and DeNunes are coming in studio.
DeNunes.
We're going to talk about The Sandlot. We are going to talk about Mighty Ducks, which Brandon Quinton Adams was in, which I'm excited about. Tom Geary was also in Mystic River, Black Hawk Down, and The Revenant, among some other movies.
He's had a nice little career.
He's had some slam dunk films come out as well. But it's the 25th anniversary edition of The Sandlot. It's available on Blu-ray, and we got to ask some questions about one of my favorite movies as a child. And a movie that I think means a lot to a lot of our listeners. So that's coming up at 10:30. Those guys are in studio for a half hour with us. At 11 this morning, we'll talk with Dave Jagler. Huge win for the Nats last night. They played keep away with the lead. They garnered three batters into the game when Anthony Rendon hit a two-run homer. Rendon homered twice in his first two at-bats and drove in three. The Mets, all evening long, were kind of whittling away, and you felt like this isn't going to be enough. They need some insurance. Bryce Harper delivered that with a prodigious multi-run homer, and he won them the game because in the end,
you needed that run, yeah, those runs.
Scherzer gave up a late run. Kelvin Herrera gave up a late run, and they only won by one. One-run wins for the Nats have been so rare this year.
Yeah, they really have. And some of that needs to equalize, you would hope, if they're going to get back into this division, wild card race, whatever you want to call it. But here's why I think that was a big win last night. And listen, the Mets stink. So nobody's throwing a parade here. You're a game over 500 with less than 70 games left to play. Here's why it was big. You squandered too many great Max Scherzer games in that June run of putrescence. You've squandered too many times where your ace is on the bump. I know that you can't rely on Jeffrey Rodriguez or Eric Fetty or Austin Voth or Amy Adams or any of the other people that may or may not come up, okay, and throw 4 1/3 innings for you and give up a bunch. Tanner Roark has been dreadful. He goes tonight. If you squandered the Max game, you're looking all of a sudden down the barrel of a, uh-oh, this could be really awkward here before the All-Star break, before Strasburg comes back. You know what I mean? Like, if you banked one, now let's go out and see if we can get one or two more here in this series. Even if you go 500 in this series, Strasburg's coming back after the All-Star break. You can't squander yet another pretty good Max Scherzer outing, if that made any sense, because you've already done too many of those.
Well, I also think just starting a four-game series when you've got Scherzer on the hill going into Roark, who's lost 8 more games than he's won, with Jeremy Hellickson, who's a fifth starter, and a to-be-determined, to your point, you can't lose that first game with your ace
on
the hill.
You have to bank that one.
You need to put that deposit in the bank so that when you lose one of these games inevitably, because one of these starters doesn't give you any chance to win against a decent Mets lineup, you still have a shot to get the 3 out of 4 in this series. That is necessary to feel good. By the way, I don't know why you chose Amy Adams there, but does she remind you at all ever? I used to get so confused between her and Pam from The Office. Do you have anything there where those two are similar?
They've got, now, the Amy Adams red hair corollary makes that you're not going to confuse her with Pam.
Is Pam's name Jenna Fisher, right?
Yeah, Jenna Fisher, who I like a lot, by the way. She's very likable. A little bit too all the time Pam-ish, where she's like very mousy and kind of like down.
Definitely look a lot alike.
Well, she doesn't look not as similar as Amy Adams and Isla Fisher, or whatever her name is.
Oh, I've never considered them to look alike.
But aren't there two?
Isla Fisher is the redhead from Wedding Crashers.
Yeah.
And to me, she looks nothing like Amy Adams, who looks exactly like Jenna Fisher. So that's interesting that you compared the other two.
Yeah, that's a thing. Isla Fisher, is it Isla or Isla? Anyone know? Isla?
I'm not. It's the lady from Wedding Crashers.
Who was married to Sacha Baron Cohen at one point. Yeah, that's a thing. That's like known that they are celebrity lookalikes, her and Amy Adams.
I've never once conflated the two. Maybe that's something that people think. I used to not be able to tell the difference. I'm like, is Amy Adams on The Office? What's going on here? I think her and Jenna Fisher look way more similar.
So here, take a gander. Here's just a quick Google search. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, see, I don't see a comp. Wow. Now you show me a Amy Adams, Jenna Fisher.
All right,
then I'll maybe agree. Google that, see if that's a lookalike.
I mean, you don't think that girl right there looks like Amy Adams? There's no resemblance to you.
Wow, I think these two right here look a lot alike.
You get that one?
Yep. Which, by the way, same website. I mean,
they're doing the same thing.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm buying this one. I think your refusal on this Isla Fisher, Amy Adams thing is a little bit interesting.
I think they both have red hair. That's kind of the beginning and the end of the comps. I think the other two have similar faces, eyes, bone structure. But I mean, look, you might be onto something.
You got bone structure in your argument? I like this.
I've got bone structure in my argument. Cheekbones and nose bones.
Cheekbones.
Orbital bones and all those kind of bones. Before we get into the Sandlot at 10:30 and Dave Jagler at 11 on the Nationals, wanted to quickly hit on the Redskins out of the chute here. And we got your countdown to training camp coming up at 11:15 today when we're going to bring up another burning question for you to answer. But yesterday, we got busy at the end of the show. I had to give away some prizes, had a bunch of things to tend to. And that was our fault, not yours. But because of that, we kind of gypped what would have been a good topic and we wanted some calls on and we weren't able to take them. The Redskins' opportunity to make the playoffs this year. In the Washington Post, Kareem Copeland, who now covers the Redskins, one of their new beat reporters, wrote basically what it would take for the Redskins to make the playoffs. And he listed 6 things that he think are necessary and pertinent if they're going to make the postseason. 1 was quarterback play, that Alex Smith has to be good. 2 was that they have to stay healthy, which they weren't able to do last year. Now they get Thompson, Reed, Allen, Williams, Moses, and Foster back. 3 was stop the run, which after drafting Daron Payne and re-signing Brown and Foster, you'd think they might be able to do that.
You could see that they thought that too and went ahead and made some moves, right?
4 was a youth movement. He basically said that their young players, Daron Payne, Darius Geis among their draft picks, among their sophomores like Monte Nicholson and Fabian Moreau and their juniors, Matt Ioannidis and guys like Quentin Dunbar, that all those players have to step up. They need more out of Josh Doctson and Ryan Anderson. And that if that happens, they'll make the playoffs. I think that's probably the best one listed here. The fifth thing he wrote was the Jordan Reed advantage. Keep him on the field because he's dominant. And the sixth thing he said was, hey, keep the faith. Basically, no going into the year you got a shot because the Titans broke an eight-year playoff drought because the Bills hadn't made the playoffs since 99 and did. The Jags made the AFC title game a year after going 13-3. And the Eagles, who had missed the playoffs five of the last 6 years, won the Super Bowl. So those are the six things he listed. What we wanted to do, though, Danny, was make our own lists. You and I will list three ways the Redskins can make the playoffs. But we want one item from you guys that is the most important thing that must happen for the Redskins for them to get back into the postseason for the first time since 2015 this year. So we want you to call us at 800-636-1067 right now. That's 800-636-1067 on the Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener lines. And if you can't get through on the phones, you can tweet us.
At FunnyDanny for me and at Grant H. Paulson for Jeeps.
What is the one thing you think the Redskins have to do to make the playoffs? And you jotted down three for us?
I've got three here. And one of them is actually not about what the Redskins can do. It's out of their control.
Really?
Well, I would say they control a small portion of it. I'll explain.
They need a little bit of help, you're saying.
Yeah, and they can control a little bit of that because of who's on their schedule.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. It is Sandlot Day.
All right.
10:30 to 11, we'll have a couple of the actors from the movie in studio. You're listening to The Fan. Drabby with a pool. Silly Drabby. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. The Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener lines are open at 800-636-1067. By the way, I just met Tom Geary and Brandon Quinton Adams, a couple of fellows from the Sandlot.
Just now you did?
They are in the green room.
Oh, man.
Went and shook their hands. The first thing that happened was they both laughed at my outfit. For those of you that don't know, I'm wearing a Sandlot t-shirt and matching Sandlot shorts that is a lot to deal with, I would say.
What's the guy's name that's on your shirt? The catcher?
Ham Porter.
Ham Porter.
Actually, would you mind taking a photo and I'll tweet it out?
Not a problem.
From my Twitter account?
Sure thing.
Because I think the fact that I'm wearing the matching bathing suit is important.
He's got a matching kit, Grant Paulson. Hold on, let me get the entire thing in view.
Happy Sandlot
Day. Right, you got to talk for a second.
Yeah, that's fine. Danny is going to take this photo. Hopefully he does it in a way that is timely, unlike the old people who take pictures in public.
I got a few options for you to choose from there.
Thank you very much.
Like, how do I point the thing towards you? Is it a flash?
Wow, this outfit's a lot to deal
with. It is, man. It's not quiet. You know what I mean?
No. It doesn't look as good as I thought it did, to be completely honest with you.
You thought, I don't think you put that on because you feel like you're in a dinner jacket and like, or
no,
a tuxedo
but
or something.
I thought it like suited my body better than it does, if that makes sense.
Those kinds of shirts, the, whatever you want to call it, like sort of like the Cuban thing, I don't know the right term for it, but like the button down silk kind of thing. They're not flattering on dudes. If you have any kind of carriage at all, it just doesn't work
right
for you. If you're like super skinny like our boss or like Craig Hoffman, like Nick Ashew would look great in that shirt, but he would look great in a, you know.
Brown paper bag.
Yeah, like a burlap sack, you know. For us, it's not good.
I just tweeted out the picture. Here is my outfit on Sandlot Day. So check it out at Grant H. Paulson. So Tommy, I was a little worried because I came around the corner hot. I ran right in there. They were just kind of having a conversation with themselves. I shook their hands and told them I'll be conducting the interview with Danny Ruye. And they were like, oh, nice outfit. And they're like laughing. I'm like, I don't wear it every day, just Tuesdays and Fridays. And I walked away. But you seemed to think that they enjoyed the outfit.
Yeah, I was setting up the green room for them, getting them coffee and stuff like that and turning on the TV. And there are two publicists that are with them, and they couldn't stop talking about the outfit after you left. So
silly.
I would say that the bit is working.
Yeah. All right. We're off to a great start. All right, so before we get to the Sandlot interview at 10:30 and talk more about the outfit at some point, which ideally will not be the source of conversation with the gentleman coming in studio, let's give our items that have to happen for the Redskins to win the division. You wrote three down. I wrote three down. If you guys have one you want to add to the list, you can call us like Kyle Diddy's in Fairfax. Kyle, if the Redskins are going to win the division, what has to happen?
Hey, guys. I think that they need to be a top 10 to 15 rushing team if they want to make the playoffs. They haven't been a good rushing team since Mike Shanahan left. And the 1 year that they made the playoffs, even with like Pierre Garçon and DeSean Jackson leading on the passing game, they snuck in at 9-7. Everyone knows on defense, yeah, they need to be better at the point of attack, but they need to be better overall on defense. As far as offense goes, passing game has never really been the issue. They need to commit to the run, use Darius Geis. Trent Williams might be in the Hall of Fame one day. Brandon Scherff, Morgan Moses. Do not continue to waste the talent on offense. Shift the focus to the running game, and I guarantee success will happen for this team.
What's funny is you actually took one right off of my list. Thank you. My number three on my list is run the ball in the top half of the league.
It is July 13th. That is our first run the ball.
Run
of the beer.
The ball. Now, it's not for me that they have to run it a ton. It's that on an effective standpoint. Yards per play is what I care about. Mm-hmm. Rushing yards per play. You could run the ball the 29th most in the league. If you're 4th, 11th in how often, how much you get when you run it, however often that is, I can be content. So I've got run the ball in the top half of the league, 3rd. What do you have?
So I've got turnovers. Turnover margin has to be better than it's been each of these last two seasons. And that starts with quarterback, and you've got someone that doesn't turn it over very often in Alex Smith. It also is incumbent upon the defense to win that battle as well. The Redskins have not. They did when they won the division. And in a year the division was bad, by the way, they did it by taking care of the football and also having some big plays on offense. Turnover margin, they've got to be in the top half of the league. It's very rare that you are in the bottom half of the league and you make the playoffs. That's as good a correlation as we have in the sport.
I'm pulling it up right now. Their net differential last year. Do you have it in front of you by chance?
I believe they were 23rd.
Okay, they 23rd. They were minus 4 last year. So they took the ball away 23 times. They had 27 takeaways. Just as a comp, there were teams last year total who turned the ball over 13 times. They turned it over 27 times. Now, from a takeaway standpoint, that's more important to me. The best teams in the league took the ball away close to 30 times last year. They were in the low 20s. So a minus 4 total, only teams like Cleveland and Denver and Miami and Oakland, what do they all have in common? They were way worse than they were supposed to be.
So just in terms of sheer number of turnovers by the offense, here's who's at the bottom. Tell me what these teams have in common. Cleveland, Denver, Miami, Houston, Oakland, Washington, Tampa. Pretty good list, right?
Yeah.
Of who didn't make the playoffs.
Underachievers.
Yeah, underachievers.
That's a great one. Number 2 on my list, the secondary has got to be better than we all think. That means Quentin Dunbar makes him look smart. That means Fabian Moreau comes to play. That means you get health and better production from Orlando Scandrick than he gave Dallas over the last few years. That means Josh Norman doesn't drop 8 picks. That means that Monte Nicholson might be healthy and might help a whole lot at safety with DJ Swearinger. That means maybe Troy Apke plays and plays decently, or DeShazer Everett makes a play or two. But collectively, that secondary, which looks paper thin and is entirely unproven, has to be a source of positivity, not negativity, and big plays against.
For me, my number 2 reason, or number 2 thing that has to go right, the deep ball. Big plays. Chipping away on offense is very nice. Chipping away can move the chains. It can keep the clock moving, even if you don't have a good running game. That's all well and good. You can be in the top half of the league in yards, as they have been. You can also only have 2 games where you top 30 points. Big plays are what offense now in this league is about. You body blow people, whether it's with the run game, short passing game, etc. You need the top taken off more often. Look at these. Net yards per pass attempt. These are the top of the league. Tell me what these teams have in common. Saints, Chargers. Chargers actually had a winning record. They botched a few games early, but they're Pythagorean.
If not for the first quarter of their season where they gave 4 games away, basically, they make the playoffs going away.
They're, you know, sort of the numbers say they should have been 11-5, but whatever. Atlanta, Pittsburgh, Patriots, Chiefs, Rams. Great offenses right at the top. All playoff teams, all have a chance at the big dance. Redskins need to improve in the deep ball area.
3rd and last thing for me, I've gone run the ball in the top half of the league in terms of effectiveness. Secondary being better than we think. 2017 Alex Smith shows up. Not all the other years worth of Alex Smith.
Mm.
He has to play like he did last year in Kansas City. If he does that, more important than anything else, most weeks you're going to probably have a really good chance to win the football game.
The rest of the NFC has to fall apart. That, to me, is why I have no illusions that the Redskins are going to do anything. 7 teams we feel like are going to be good. 3 more are on the rise. Those are San Francisco, Detroit, who was 9-7 last year, and the Giants, who probably won't be as bad as they were last year. Philadelphia, Minnesota, Green Bay, New Orleans, Carolina, Atlanta, and the Rams all have to fall off. I didn't even count Seattle, by the way, who was also 9-7. The Redskins play the NFC South this year. New Orleans, Carolina, and Atlanta, and then, of course, whatever Tampa Bay does. if the Redskins can win the majority of those matchups in the NFC South, they control a little bit of their own destiny in terms of beating them out. There's six playoff spots. It's not like there's 16 like there is in the NBA. You don't have that much room in your conference. You've got to outmaneuver 10, potentially 12 teams that have a shot at being pretty good.
The story that we're talking about is in the Post. You should check it out. If the Redskins want to make the playoffs, here's what has to go right in 2018. Some smart takes from Kareem Copeland that we have now added to here on Grant and Danny. Next, joined in studio by Tom Geary and Brandon Quinton Adams, couple of childhood acting stars who were big players in The Sandlot. It's going to be a fun conversation as we celebrate the 25-year anniversary of an iconic film. Next on The Fan. Grant and Danny welcoming you in on 106.7 The Fan, just after 10:30. We've been telling you for a few days this was going down. Danny isn't going to completely sit this out for the next couple of segments, but in the same way that if like a comedian like Frank Caliendo or somebody was on, I would probably just watch him have a ball. This is going to be a big 30 minutes for me.
So he laid this outfit out a couple nights ago on the bed and smoothed it out a couple times. Yeah.
So first of all, I guess I want to know, am I embarrassing myself? Like, I have three gloves here. I've already asked you guys to have a catch with me. And I'm wearing a really weird Sandlot outfit.
No.
Do people do this kind of stuff with you guys a lot and it's annoying? Or is this kind of okay with you? Are you weirded out by me? Where are we at right now in our friendship?
Well, I dig it, man. As soon as I saw it, I was like, it looks, I thought it was pajamas at first. And then when I saw the hot dogs and ham on it, I knew it was one of the cooler outfits I've ever seen.
Very cool. So this is from Roosevelt's. They do all kinds of like basically cool nostalgic outfits for movies I liked as a kid. But in studio with us right now, we've got Tom Geary. You just heard his voice. He played Scotty Smalls in The Sandlot. And Brandon Quinton Adams, who played Kenny DeNunez, is with us as well. So what about your perspective so far? You hate me. You're okay with me. You'll tolerate me. Where are we at on it?
Oh, I like you, man.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, very good.
What if he was like, no, I'm out?
No, that would be heartbreaking, to be completely honest with you. Because not only was he in The Sandlot, but he was also in The Mighty Ducks.
That's right.
Which we've got to talk about.
Absolutely.
So let's start here. Why this movie, do you think? Why do you think The Sandlot? Because people forget there was a super huge run on baseball movies and kids' baseball movies in that time.
Yeah.
You had like
Little
Big League was great with Billy Haywood as a manager. You had Rookie Angels of the Year, Angels in the Outfield. We don't get any kid baseball movies anymore. There was like four in a 6-year span. Why was The Sandlot 25 years later the one being celebrated as iconic?
Well, I think it's because of, I mean, the friendship in the film, because that's really the bottom line of the movie, I think, you know, and I think a lot of people can relate to it. You know, I mean, being an outcast or being accepted, and I think a lot of people could relate to at least one of the characters in the movie, which is what, and the whole nostalgia factor, you know, I mean, it's kind of, I think that's why it kind of stood the test of time a little bit.
We were talking about this yesterday. I think if you're a kid my age, you love the movie because you played baseball and you wanted to be those kids out there with their buddies all day long. But if you were then a parent of a kid, you also like the movie because you're watching it with your son or your daughter. And so there's basically, unless you were like a teenager when it came out, if you're now in your 50s and 60s or you're my age and in your 30s, there's so many ages that got hit because you're probably watching with your kids. I think that's probably part of it as well in terms of it lasting.
Absolutely. And it's that's the amazing thing about it is the kids, they still watch it. You know, the parents show it to the kids and it just keeps going on and on. And, you know, like Tom said, I think there's something in there for everybody. I think everybody can see themselves in one of the characters, you know, in there. And it's a great movie written by David Mickey Evans.
So the 25th anniversary edition of The Sandlot is now available on Blu-ray. So I've got a 4-year-old, and we're coming into that time where we're going to do this together as well. So kind of like Grant's talking about, it can kind of keep perpetuating in terms of generations. Here's where I want to give you guys a lot of credit, then I'll turn it back over to my colleague over here. A lot of people, whether they're actors or otherwise, will have an iconic project like you guys had, right? But you guys have both have had significant careers since then. Tom, you've been in a ton of stuff like Mystic River, Black Hawk Down, these like blockbusters. Brandon, you've done a lot as well. I give you so much credit for embracing this thing that everybody loves instead of being like, yeah, I was in The Sandlot, but come see my art house project where I'm a deaf mute that paints with his toes and can only communicate in Swedish sign language. Like, I love that, where people are okay with embracing the thing that they're loved for, right?
Yeah.
Hey, man, I'm a fan of the movie myself. You know, it's one of those classic movies where, you know, I know all the lines like everybody else. It's like a good song.
Yeah. Truthfully, when I was a little bit younger, I kind of tried to steer away from it, and you know, but then as I got, you know, a little bit older, it became to embrace it. You know, I mean, it just because I mean, really, that's why we do what we do. You know, people enjoy it and makes people happy. You might as well embrace it, and you know, it's a great movie.
It is. Tom Geary, Brandon Quinton Adams with us in studio. A couple of the actors from The Sandlot. So you guys were kids when the movie was filmed. How old were you?
I was 11.
11?
I turned 12 during the filming of the movie.
Okay, so all about the same age.
Yeah.
And now you're in your mid-30s, and you guys have become adults. You don't look like you did then, but I want to know how often today, as you're walking around, people say, Scotty Smalls. And what is the line they repeat when they come up to you?
Oh, you're killing me, Smalls.
That's all the time.
Actually, it's funny because I'll either get recognized or people won't believe that it's me. So I was walking.
It's one of the two.
Yeah, I was walking in the mall one day. And it was like the first time I saw the "You're Killing Me" small shirt. I was with my kids. I pointed at the guy. I go, "That's me," and he goes, "What?" I go, "That's me, man. I'm small." And he goes, "Whatever, man." And just keeps walking. He didn't believe it was me.
He had
no idea it was me. Yeah, but if people, you know, see sometimes they just recognize me. That's really weird. It's like,
wow.
Yeah.
But so on a normal day, would you say every day you get recognized as Smalls or not that often?
Maybe once a week.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
not
crazy.
Every day, but yeah.
And then how about you?
He's being humble more than that.
Really? Because when you walk around with him, you can tell.
Every day.
Really?
Every day.
How about you?
Here and there, you know, every other day.
Right? Humble as well. All right, so each of you have different projects I want to hit on with you. But I do want to ask, you're all 11 or 12. I was reading last night a couple things about the filming of the movie. Apparently, you guys just played Nintendo all the time.
Yeah.
Is that correct? So did you guys all become really good friends? I mean, was everyone pretty close? You guys were all kind of budding stars at the same time. And then what's the relationship like now, other than this year where you're traveling around together? 3 years ago, were you guys in touch as an example?
Well, I was Shane was the other guy from the East Coast. He was Florida, but I was Shane
character?
Was Timmy Timmons.
Okay,
or was he Tommy?
So, Timmy and Tommy.
It was Timmy. Yeah.
Okay.
But he was from Florida. I was from Jersey, so it was kind of hard to keep in contact. So I hadn't seen these guys in like 25 years.
Wow! Until this year,
you're and it was weird because within like 2 minutes of talking with them all again, it was like we were all right back in summer camp again. it was really weird because we really did bond on making the film, you know. So it was, and we all still get along. We group text now, so we were doing our thing. So it's pretty cool.
That is, to me, that's the dream. So you guys would film, which was basically playing baseball or being at the pool or whatever it was all day. But then tell me about this Nintendo situation. Is that what you guys just did whenever you weren't filming? Or
yeah,
what?
It was a lot of Super Nintendo. I think it was Super Nintendo back then. Yeah,
well, that's the right time frame. Yes.
Yeah.
I remember you had it in your suitcase in the airport. You were like, I got it. You got it in the bag. Did you have the Genesis too, or just the Super Nintendo?
I had the Genesis too.
Yeah.
I had a Discman. I was popping.
Yeah, all the stuff. So that was your first movie?
It was my first movie.
How is that a thing that not to say that you were the biggest star of the movie, but the movie surrounded around your character, that they're going to go, this guy's never been in a movie, let's make him this person. In other words, you've been in Mighty Ducks, you've been in a bunch of projects, you're doing stuff with Michael Jackson, and you got all kinds of things going on. But then, how did your career go from wherever it was to star of The Sandlot?
Well, it was a lot of screen tests.
Okay.
I think they sent me home, and then they brought me back. And then they sent me home and brought me back. So it was a lot of screen tests, and I don't know if they were too sure because it was my first thing, you know. So, but I guess I just kept plugging away at it, and they threw me a bone.
Ham Porter, Squints Polidoro, a couple of the famous and iconic characters of The Sandlot, a couple of the guys, Scotty Smalls and Kenny DeNewnett, is in studio with us now. And then for you, so Kenny, Brandon, you were, before you played Kenny, you were in 92, you were Jesse Hall in the Mighty Ducks.
Right.
Sandlot was 93, and then you're D2 in 94.
Right.
So basically just the three greatest years of my film life.
Yeah, I was a pro athlete at that time, man.
I mean, you're going hockey, baseball, hockey.
You're right.
Did the guys wear you out a little bit because you're more a hockey player than a baseball player? Or
yeah, they've always given me a little kind of a hard time about the Ducks thing, you know. And the last time I saw the Sandlot guys was actually here in D.C. about a year ago. I was with the Ducks. And There was almost a brawl.
Oh, no. Wait a second. Why would you have been here with the Ducks and the Sandlot guys?
It's like
up?
Sharks and the Jets all the time in the streets of DC.
Why wasn't I there? That sounds like the coolest thing ever.
We needed a guy with a Sandlot shirt to take pictures.
I was doing a signing at a sports memorabilia show somewhere out here, and I just happened to run into the Sandlot guys, man. And Marty, you know, the big guy, he's like,
is that him?
What are you doing with the Sandlot?
Marty was yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. I don't know if
he's like the size of Lou Ferrigno now.
I haven't. No way.
He's yoked, man. Yeah. I saw a picture.
Yeah. So he's mad at you. He's like, what are you doing with these
like,
guys?
He's like, what are you doing with these guys? And then the Ducks are like, you know, what's up with the Sandlot guys? And I'm like, hey, chill.
Everyone, we can all get along. Right. You took your Nintendo out of your bag, there and you guys go. Just started playing.
That's how you do it, man.
And it all worked out. Which, this is so nerdy, by the way. Which Ducks guys were you with?
Oh, my God.
I was with the Cake Eater. I was with, who else? You sprung that one.
Well, I'll come back to that.
I'm trying to think of character names, actually, so you would know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we'll come back.
Well, I'll pull up a picture. You point them out. I'll tell you the character names and the story arc.
You're trying to get me in trouble here, man.
No, you're good. Brandon Quinton Adams, who played Kenny DeNunez in the Sandlot. Tom Geary, who played Scotty Smalls, is with us on Grant and Danny. Another segment with these guys. We'll talk about some of the other things they've worked on, as well as what they've got planned this weekend for the All-Star festivities. They're going to be very busy as they're celebrating the 25th anniversary of the Sandlot. You're listening to The Fan. Grant and Danny on The Fan, hanging out with a couple of the characters from a legendary film from a lot of our childhoods, The Sandlot. Tom Geary and Brandon Quinton Adams are in studio. What was your favorite either scene or moment, and it maybe when you were filming or now when you go back as a viewer, when you're watching with your kids and you watch that movie? Give me something you really think is either funny, cute, or you enjoyed, you thought it was awesome.
Well, I really enjoyed, the 4th of July scene, yeah. I think is my favorite scene in the movie.
Definitely.
But filming wise, I loved it when we filmed the camp out scene in the treehouse, just because we were able to play off each other really well, and like I love the Squints beast story, and then the s'more scene with
the
Ham.
Squints beast story is the four.
That's a great scene.
That is scripted, or is that anybody just you guys having fun cutting up? Or
it was scripted. It was scripted, and I think the forever part, I think, because they shot the part, the old footage first. With Coach,
right?
You know, so they had him do that in the black and white scene, the cop. So I think they kind of threw that at Squints, at Chauncey. They were like, do the four, you know, it was funny.
Forever.
What would you say, Brandon, were your favorite scenes?
I would say the 4th of July scene, too, was just, you know, a nice experience with the memories attached to it. And the pool scene with Squints and Wendy Peppercorn, of course.
Yeah. It was so cold. That water was freezing.
It was cold that day. A hot summer the whole time. And then that day, it was just freezing.
And you can see it, too, because they must have just filled the pool because it was ice cold. And when Chauncey's walking to the diving board, and he's on the diving board. His teeth are chattering.
Yeah, right.
You can tell how cold he is, man, but he's trying to
hide
it.
It's legit.
Yeah, he was freezing.
He was that cold. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And did he screw up on purpose a bunch of times? Because she was hot.
A couple. Yeah. He was a sharp little guy.
He's not dumb. He's like, we need another take here because I didn't love that part of it. She was probably like 17 or 18.
She was 16, I think.
Was she that young?
She was only 16 when she
was. Wow. Yeah. That's weird to say. All right. Maybe she wasn't that high. She was just a very responsible lifeguard.
Well, I hope she had good grades. Tom Geary, Brandon Quinton Adams are with us. 25th anniversary edition of The Sandlot is now available on Blu-ray, and they're in town. All-Star Weekend, a bunch of cool events. With these guys, 4 to 7 p.m., activities on the diamond with military families. That's Friday, July 13th, today at Nationals Park. And then 7 to 7:30, a Q&A with talent at nearby Play Ballpark. One of my best buddies is a comic. His name is Rory Scovel, and he was starting to take off a little bit. He had a movie with Amy Schumer. Mm-hmm. And previously, he was in The House with Will Ferrell, right? And we've started together. And one of the things we asked him when he came on, like to promote that movie a little bit, was, you're funny. You know that. I know that. And everybody that's seen you. But you got to go into a scene with Will Ferrell and be funny. Right? Like, that's crazy to think about. You guys, as kids, are doing scenes with James Earl Jones. You know what I mean? Like, you can just say, oh, that's James Earl Jones. That's James. That's an actor. That dude is as accomplished as anybody. And, like, just go into that experience as little kids where it's like, I'm just going to go do this scene real quick while he's, you know, blind and talking about his dog or whatever. And it's a normal thing that day, or is it intimidating?
By the way, I watched that scene recently and weirdly got emotional. That is a great scene as well. When he's talking to you guys, he's like, oh, George, oh, George is there. Like, so good. But anyways, yeah, acting with a guy like that had to be crazy.
It was really cool, but he made it so easy because he was so easygoing and just a really nice guy. And I mean, we all knew that he was going to be on set that day. You know, right. I mean, it was like, it was a big deal. But as soon as, you know, as soon as you meet him, all that would go away because he was just so down to earth and just so nice, you know, so we made it easy.
That's kind of the cool thing about working with good actors like that. They just make it easy. It's like you're not even doing anything. You know?
Speaking of actors, Brandon, how about singers? You were in a bunch of videos and a long form film with Michael Jackson.
That's right.
So you meet Smooth Criminal, Bad, Batter was, I guess, the project he put together after the fact. But you got to know him a little bit, I'm sure.
Yeah, I did, man.
That's amazing to me, man.
Michael Jackson was my hero. I mean, honestly, that's how I became an actor and everything. You know, when I saw Michael Jackson on, I think it was like the Motown 25 review when I was a kid.
How old would you have been for that? Because that was in the early 80s,
like
right?
Four. Yeah, something like that. And I saw him moonwalk, man, and it just changed my life. You know, and I started imitating Michael Jackson, and from there it was like commercials, but it's, you know, how I kind of found myself as a performer.
Did you have any semblance, because at that point you're doing videos with Jackson, you're doing Ducks, Sandlot Ducks. I mean, these are smash movies for kids. Did you have like normal, hey, I'm going home and going to a movie with a friend, or were you an actor? Did you go to school? How did it work at that point?
No, I just kind of fell into it all, and you know, I lived a very normal life, you know.
You did?
Yeah. Public school, you know.
So you would go to school with your buddies at a public school as all these movies are in the theater?
Yeah.
What was that like?
I would usually catch hell on the first day, and you know, then I'd be all right after that.
You had to have a lot of options for girlfriends in high school, I'm guessing, both of you.
Not really.
No. They didn't love Scotty Smalls.
That's hard.
Not as much as they like Benny the Jet Rodriguez.
He's better at baseball than you in the movie.
There's perks to being Smalls, but that's not one of
Benny
them. Only to a certain
jet.
Degree.
Yeah.
Benny the Jet probably did pretty well.
Yeah, they love Benny the Jet.
Another Mighty Ducks crossover, by the way.
Exactly.
He came in as a guy who Luis Mendoza who couldn't hit the brakes and D2.
That's
couldn't
right.
Stop. Unbelievable. You had a question about video games or something.
Well, it's just because I'm a giant dork that's not popular among most social groups. But you also, Brandon, you have some roles in a couple video games doing voiceover type stuff.
Yeah,
that's a neat thing to fall into. Kingdom Hearts 2, massive smash hit, and a Final Fantasy game. That's not nothing, dude.
Which Final Fantasy?
Dissidia.
Nice.
Are you a gamer too, Tom?
Yeah, I like video games a lot.
How do you do it with kids? How do you balance it?
Well, I got the Switch.
So he
plays the Switch. I'll play the Xbox. But he likes Roblox now. So it's like, I'm like, don't buy anything with this Roblox thing. It's like such a racket. But yeah, it's pretty much all me and my little guy do is sit around and play video games all day.
Yeah, I kind of Jedi mind trick my wife a little bit. It's like, look, it's a Lego game for him. We're bonding together. It's quality
exactly.
time.
It's good, yeah.
Yeah, and then it's, of course, somehow it's still on and he's on his iPad while I'm, you know, grinding away at something.
That's how it goes. But yeah, man, that's one of the only voiceover jobs I've ever nailed, and I don't know how I did it, but it worked out in the end, man.
I think if you can get on that train, you need to board that train.
It's a good train.
Or you just—it's kind of like radio. Basically, you're just talking into a mic, but you're getting paid for an extended period of time afterwards.
Right, exactly.
Probably the way to do it. Four to seven today. Activities over at the Diamond with military families, the Sandlot crew is participating in, and then 7 to 7:30 tonight, a Q&A. With these guys and some of the characters at nearby Play Ball Park. So if you're down here in the area near Nationals Park, check that out. Who was the best and the worst baseball player of the Sandlot kids? Oh. Actual baseball talents.
I'd have to go with Benny was probably the best player. I mean, he was a little bit older too, wasn't he?
Yeah. Benny was good, and his brother played baseball in some kind of
level too. Yeah, his brother was really good.
And he was kind of coaching us in a
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
But there was no prerequisite to play, right? Like, no, they weren't like.
Well, they gave us like a you know a couple week kind of
camp.
A baseball camp type thing.
Cool.
But I mean, we all could play. You know, I mean, we could all catch and throw type thing. I played Little League, and I think a lot of the other kids did too. I don't know. Worst player
hockey, baseball.
It's gonna be a rough one. Who do you think the worst player was, man?
Squint seems like
I'm trying to
the
pass
worst.
That. Over.
Say his name, Brandon. Right? Yeah. That's like the only story that gets right in there.
Benny was the best.
He's like,
Brandon could probably answer that for you.
You want to write down a name right there?
Nah, man, you're not going to do that to me.
What are you guys working on now? I saw you've got like four projects that are either post-film or coming out. You've been in, he mentioned a couple of them, but I love the Mystic River, Black Hawk Down, Revenant. What are you doing right now?
Right now, I'm filming a movie called 1973, kind of like a historic piece type thing of things that happened in 1973. Huh. I don't want to give too much away, but that's it right now. We were filming in New Orleans, and then we were supposed to film in D.C., but I think they're moving it to New York. So
wow, and you live in the New York area now?
I live in Jersey, but okay. I'm in the process of moving. I'm going to move down south.
Cool.
You'll get a little bit more room, you know what I mean? It's just, and plus, it's so expensive in Jersey. It's crazy.
Yeah, very expensive. And you're out in L.A. still, Brandon?
I'm out in L.A., man. I'm an Angeleno. And what am I working? I just did a film not too long ago called Reborn. And, you know, just trying to move to the next thing.
I love it. Yeah. Well, it's been super cool to have you guys in studio. Appreciate
a lot
of fun
to be here.
It's awesome, man.
25-year anniversary. And, again, the film is available on Blu-ray, so go grab it. Thanks a ton, guys.
Thanks for moving.
Have fun in town, guys.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure. Frank and Danny.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.